Hello, welcome to Games Life Podcast, episode 171. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, we just got through Christmas. Which means presents!
Yay, presents!
Including the ones to oneself.
Hey, sometimes those are just as good.
Yay, Mixer!
Yay, Game Boy!
So yay, we are me, all the time, every day me meets.
Eventually you'll be like Care Bear and I, where you're at, 300 plus meetings each.
Well, you have to keep Game Boys for a year, and always remember to keep Game Boys on all year.
Yeah.
Well, you can meet actually multiple times in a day, as long as you check in the morning and then in the evening. Mm-hmm. Because she got hers in June. Well, we got the second one in June. So, yeah. It is possible to get to 300 in under a year.
I just need new puzzle pieces and you have none.
Welcome to my slime.
Well, you have no puzzle pieces to get at this point.
Well, yeah, I have no puzzle pieces to get, but when I had puzzle pieces to get, Care Bear didn't have any puzzle pieces to give me.
Was she buying anything randomly, or...?
Not really.
I buy stuff randomly a lot just because I'm like, oh, it's, one-man team, except for those crazy people I might run into at the library or, at the McDonald's once in a while, and I get close enough to, get on the spot pass. I don't purposely go into the McDonald's. Starbucks is better if I, happen to be by a Starbucks and can get their spot pass.
Mm-hmm. But anywho, so... The main game that Zelda Queen and I got, at least, is Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds. Bet you didn't see that one coming.
I've only been talking about it for, the last, month that it's come out.
Anywho, so, I really have enjoyed the game so far. I think it was very well done. First thing you'll notice when you're playing it is that it's almost an exact copy of A Link Between Worlds.
Oh, you mean...
Or, it's almost an exact copy of A Link to the Past. I mean, even as I just made the mistake, the names are even very similar to each other. And it makes sense because at least this is the first Zelda game where I've noticed they actually make direct references to other games in the series.
Yes.
Because one of the things, and I don't want to spoil too much, but they make direct references to the Seven Sages and...
Basically, yeah. Various wars, everything with Ganon being in the Dark World. Because this is basically set several, generations later. Same kingdom, same area. Hyrule hasn't really expanded nor contracted. It's just, later in the timeline. Which I'm like, man, now are they going to release supplemental, timeline entries for the Hyrule Historia?
Well, you knew they either, stop making games or they update the Historia. I'd prefer them to update the Historia.
Yeah, it's just now like, man, now it's all out of whack. No, I did
just
see...
Just get some post-it notes and...
Post notes all over inside of it, yeah. I did see a very funny one that somebody did on... Was it on Twitter or Tumblr? Somebody posted it. It was all the,
Tie-in games,
like Link's Crossbow Training and the CDI games and the Legend of Zelda cartoon series and all the Tingle games. And it was, a similar timeline thing. It was very humorous.
I wonder where they'll throw in that Hyrule Warriors name pending that Nintendo announced at their direct thing.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's Dynasty Warriors with a Legend of Zelda skin. Dynasty Warriors is kind of fun just to play with somebody else to run around and say, oh, look how many things I can kill. But it doesn't have a lot of replay value and it's highly repetitive. And after a while, you just get tired of it, honestly.
So I'll be interested to see how they work this in as a Zelda game.
I don't think it's supposed to be an official Zelda game, other than it has, it's in that realm of Link's Crossbow Training and Tingle's, Mary Rupee Land or Rosie Rupee Land. I can't remember. There's, there's three or four Tingle games, honestly, which never come here.
Maybe that's because the Americans just make fun of Tingle and don't see a point to him.
He is kind of creepy.
Kinda?
But
But overall, I mean, I heavily enjoyed the game. I liked the freeform dungeon crawling. I mean, basically, you are given the first two dungeons, do them whatever you want, and then the last seven, do them however you want. Because the main item you need in order to complete it, you either rent or purchase from Rovio, who is, I think he's kind of a dick, honestly.
I don't know. Well, it's kind of like, well, you're never in your house anyways. I'm just going to set up shop here. It's like, okay, well, I don't know how comfortable I feel about this, but it is true. I am hardly home as Link currently, so you can borrow my house. But once I'm done adventuring, you gotta skedaddle.
You know, you have to wonder, how long does Link's adventure actually take? Because the sun never sets or rises. So do you technically do that all in a 24-hour period?
No, every time you shut the game off, Link goes to sleep.
And yeah. Am I the only one that's tired of the stupid little birds for telling me that I've been playing too long and I should turn off the game?
They're just trying to, you know, keep things in perspective for you. I like how the box, did you notice on the box, it says, must have, like, a reading comprehension to enjoy this game.
I didn't notice that.
I've been flipping all the games we got, all of them say that. I'm like, well, yeah, you don't want to give, it's a game, but you don't want to give it to your four-year-old who can't really read, because these are text-heavy things. It's not like, you know, other touch games, which usually don't require much explanation, or, you know, games that have voice, you know, overacting. But even then, as, you know, a young child, it's like, most of it probably just goes over your head.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have to, it's like basic reading, you know, needed to enjoy a game. I've been having fun. I'm not nearly as far along as you, even though I got it on Christmas as well. Mostly I couldn't play much on Christmas Day because Proteus drained my Game Boy battery by playing Zelda.
For a while, I was ahead.
No, you're not. I'm leaving you in the dust, but you've left me in the dust on Wind Waker, so... And I've been tapping my way through Final Fantasy Rhythm. I have over 41 hours.
But yeah, so it's a fun game. We'll talk about it more as I think more people have beat it, so we're not doing too many spoilers, and after I get a review written up on it. But, I mean, it's still, it's, I'm going to say 13 to 14 dungeons.
Yeah, because you have, you know, going back through Hyrule Castle, and I've been having fun. I've been using Link as Portrait Link, you know, basically merging yourself, has been a, you know, has made some of the puzzles very interesting to figure out. Some things had frustrated me a little bit, and it's just like, okay, just stop and think about it. I'm like, ah. So I like how some of this stuff hasn't been, you know, so straightforward that I'm just like, oh, I know exactly what I need to do here. Da, 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 da,
there are some dungeons that have pissed me off because it's like, why can't I figure this out? Oh, God.
Do you feel like an idiot once you realize sometimes it, simple is the best solution?
Well, it's like there was one dungeon. I ran around it for probably a good 20 minutes trying to figure out what I was missing to finish it. And then it's like I'm in this one room and I look up. It's like, I missed that spot. No wonder I can't get this damn thing to work.
I was feeling that way in the thieves' hideout today. I was like, okay. I am definitely missing something. What did I miss? Mostly it was just going through a wall.
Yeah,
I pushed
lot
all the other directions except for left really far, so I was like, oh, oops. Solved everything after that.
Yeah, the going into the wall thing really makes you rethink how things work, because you're used to, okay, the ledge isn't here. Well, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, this is a ledge. Oh, whoops. Go on the wall, go across your leg. But it's like, oh, I ran into this candelabra on the wall. Gotta go back and find a place where I can get up higher. And at least they give you kind of hints by, there's scrawlings usually of hearts and rupees on the wall, which at least sometimes, like Mario coins, directs you in the direction you should go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also just very handy to find once in a while. You're like, I just need a heart, one heart, fill back up to full health. It'll be not awesome. But I've been having fun. But my thing is, I love A Link to the Past. It's my favorite. And so having something that's kind of like it, but different, has been really fun.
Yeah, it's not as big as Link to the Past was, I think, because, I mean, it doesn't have this. That doesn't have as many dungeons, I don't think. Or is that just me?
No, it has about the same amount, because in Link to the Past, you start off, you have to get the three
pendants,
which you still have, like, the three dungeons in the beginning, but the first one is slightly different. No, you got the Eastern Palace.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're going to the Eastern Palace just to do more of a rescue mission than getting the first pendant. And then you have to get the other two pendants. Mm. Then you get, you know, then you have to go to Hyrule Castle. And then you get warped to the other world. And there's seven dungeons, which there were seven stages. And then you have to, you know, do the final
dungeon. Okay, so it was all. Okay, so it was the same. It just seemed like I went through it fast. Maybe I just played it too much. Or was the fact that I didn't have to be home to play it.
Yeah, I'm surprised how fast I've gone through it, too. But I think part of it is, too, is you sort of know the formula. And the fact that it repeated, like, a world you already know, it's like, I remember where everything is. Even if it's slightly different, I know how to get around the map. Like, I don't even use the warp most of the time with the witch. But just because I'm like, it's so easy just to get from one place to the other. The only time I do it is if I'm basically, you know, diagonal from where I'm like, oh, I have to go over there. I'll call the witch.
I'll do it out of laziness. Sometimes, like, I really don't want to climb back there.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hello, broom.
Yeah, I guess right now it is just the broom. But, I mean, I've been enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun. I wish I had gotten the game earlier, but at least I did get it for Christmas, and if I didn't, I would still buy it, so...
It is a worthwhile expansion to the Zelda series, I believe. It's very traditional, I think, is a good word for it.
Yeah, and if you haven't been impressed with Phantom Hourglass or Spirit Tracks because you felt like it deviated too far from the formula, A Link Between Worlds will bring you back. And it's not a direct port like Ocarina of Time, and it's something new, and it's handheld, which is also good. Though people have been still rumbling that they want Majora's Mask to have the same treatment that Ocarina of Time got. I have also seen some people doing conceptual, like, if we were to revisit Link's Awakening and reskin it, what would it look like?
It's amazing how much money can be made just by redoing stuff you've already made.
I think this is the thing, is some of these games, when you look at them aesthetically, you know, they push the limitations of what the Game Boy could do. Especially original Game Boy, when you only have black and white pixels that you're really working with. Now, you know, it's just like, it was a solid game. You realize how solid it was, that, you know, the aesthetic and everything doesn't detract from it. So all you have to do is just sort of put a new veneer of paint on it, and the game still holds up really well. It's just that it doesn't look the greatest by, you know, new standards. But the game holds up, and you don't mind playing it over and over and over again. And the aesthetic's not terrible. I mean, it serves its purpose. It's just that now we can make it even more pretty.
Well, what else did we have to talk about?
NES Remix.
NES Remix, which was basically one of our party games last night.
Oh yeah, well, it was a sort of late night, had a few too many beers purchase. Kind of. My brother's sort of like, here, you should buy it. Here, you should buy it. I'm like, fine, I'll buy it. He's like, well, he had to finally say, I'll give it to you for Christmas if you buy it now. I'm like, sure. So he did. He gave us a check on Christmas Day to cover the cost of it.
Hey.
But basically, it is old school Nintendo games, such as Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Excitebike, Ice Climbers, the original Legend of Zelda, I think Metroid eventually, and Super Mario Brothers, a whole variety of different games. And basically, they're like little mini-game challenges through each sort of game.
None of us can get the 10 1-ups in a row on the shell thing.
Need my mom for that. But yeah, basically, they have remix ones, which is sort of a blend of all the games together in some aspect. Like, having Donkey Kong, but instead of Mario, you have Link. Link cannot jump nor use the hammers. So you are just having to time yourself on ladders and really hope the barrel isn't decide to roll down the ladder while you're on it. Items like this. Other things are just like little challenges, like making Mario jump through a particular level to get to the goalpost, but the level fades in and out and you don't see it. Protecting, you know, like Luigi in the original Mario Brothers, where you have to hit the Koopas from underneath the blocks and then jump on top and kick them off. Things like this. The Zelda one kind of made me feel like it's like, what? But it's taking in the fact that maybe you've never, ever, ever played the original Zelda. Which, granted, I mean, we're all 30 in this room. We all remember playing Legend of Zelda when it originally came out for the NES. Somebody now who's 10 who just got a Wii U for Christmas and actually bought this game would have no idea. I mean, it literally was circling the first cave to go get the sword. And I'm like, I know where it is. You don't have to give me hints, game. So yeah, some of the challenges, you have either a time limit or you have like 3 hits and you're out, or you just gotta do it. And then you're just done. So it's a fun party game because you can pass it around. Everybody can try different games that they want or different levels of the game and keep unlocking stuff. So for the $15 that it costs, I think we've been getting our money's worth out of it, especially since we drained the Wii U pad down to dead battery, basically.
It was yelling at us, flashing red. But what I was liked about it was it brought back that old thing that you miss in newer games where either one person's playing and everybody else is like cheering them on.
Yeah, because you're like, no, don't do this! No, go! No! Don't do this! It also is like, you know, reminiscing old muscle memory. You're like, okay, I remember this stage in Mario. I know what to do. At least for us, is nostalgia things. It's like, can you remember how to get through certain stages or where certain things are and that sort of stuff? Which, to us, I think has more of a nostalgia factor. It would be really interesting to find, you know, if we had somebody we knew who never played these games at all and tried playing them. You know, some of the things I don't know, like Ice Climbers. I never played the original Ice Climbers for the NES. But I know of the Ice Climbers, and I know the premise of the game. I just never actually played it myself. So that's a little different. But, I mean, completely no knowledge whatsoever. And I don't know anybody. Even your brother, at least, you know, even though he's 11 years younger.
Well, it helps that they're in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh yeah, Ice Climbers, they're from that game of the same name that none of us ever played. But yeah, Ice Climbers.
But he at least knows of the original stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, fun party game. If you just need something, I mean, there are
there's a lot of challenges.
There's a lot of challenges. And the thing is, too, is you get stars based on how well you perform. It's 1, 2, or 3, or the coveted rainbow stars were...
Which we have no clue what actually based that on.
It has to be arbitrary. To me, it's like practically flawless performance in as little time as possible.
But remember there was that one where I died and then I got rainbow stars?
Maybe it's because you did it so fast. I mean, there's certain things you're just like, okay, and sometimes you just don't care. You'll just take it, whatever.
Depends on how long you spent messing around with the level before you got it. Like that one Ice Climbers one where it took 4 of us to finally beat it.
Well, the game has some weird physics. It doesn't seem to detect the edges of cliffs very well, so when you jump, you actually do jump through the block on the end. I don't know if you ever were noticing that when you were trying to do that particular stage.
A little bit, and then the fact that it doesn't carry your velocity from how fast you're running into your jump.
We were learning about how to time our Mario jumps. In particular stage where you have to... It's level 2-3.
Like with the bridge and the cheeps jumping.
And you have
everywhere.
Basically, though, Mario is on... I automatically just continue running. So the only thing you can do is vary your run speed by jumping. So, you know, little light taps, Mario does little jumps, but every time he jumps, he slows down slightly for the jump. So some of it is just remembering the way that the physics work in the game, which surprisingly they have emulated very well. There's times in the Zelda where you have too many enemies on the screen, it actually slows down properly for like the cartridge would, because it's like can't quite process all these things.
Yeah, like, you know, when you have like six moblins and all of them throwing spears, it's just like, well,
and then it does that. You sort of catch right back up, surge speed, right after you get rid of a couple things on the screen. So I like the fact that it still has a bit of the glitchiness. Otherwise, it'd be too smooth and polished.
It's a long story short, it's a great party game, even though it's technically a single-player game.
You just pass around and take turns. That's what you have to do with the original Mario Brothers, so...
Well, it works really well, because none of the challenges takes more than, like...
Two minutes tops.
Yeah, that's if you have to use all of your attempts, basically.
But we got other games for Christmas here. We just haven't broken into them. I got Luigi's Mansion. What is it? Dark Moon. Need to crack it open. I did at least play the original and finish it. Got it for the GameCube. That was my Christmas present to myself many, many years ago. Also got the Mario and Luigi Dream Team, which that's the one I'm more excited to try out. And then we got Zelda. I got Monster Hunter Tri for the Wii U, which my brother's like, we're going to be noobs again together. He goes, well, at least I'm going to be more equipped out noob, and you get to start from, you know, the beginning. And we also got Adventure Time, Explore the Dungeon, because I don't know. Which we just realized is on Steam. And it's like, maybe we should... Well, I guess in this version, we only have to buy one copy and just have multiple controllers, which we already do. So that saves us money there, instead of spending $28 each on a version for Steam.
I think Steam eventually is going to make it so you can share stuff with, you know, people in your household. I think I remember hearing about that. It was going to be part of the Steam OS launch.
That would be so nice, because we live in the same household, and we generally want to play the same games, and we buy them because we want to play them together. I wish a lot of companies would do this. It's like, okay, sell one of us the game, but then let me just buy a key for it.
Well, that's technically all they're selling you, is a license.
Yeah.
I mean, in Steam, we buy a license and we download it. We don't actually buy physical media from them at all. But this game that I got that I've removed the plastic, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet, is Need for Speed Rivals. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to see how it works out with the different kind of tools that the street teams and the police have at their hands in order to try and avoid/catch each other.
It's very shiny. We were watching my dad... Well, we were taking turns of playing it at Thanksgiving.
It's quite fast-paced.
And shiny. Everything's shiny. And I like how the cards... It takes a lot to finally beat up on the cards. But I used to... When was it? Back in the PS2 Xbox days. I forget which... I think it was the Forza games. There were some companies, or at least car companies, saying, okay, if you're using our models of cars in your games, you can't show them beat up. They have to always be pristine.
I remember that.
And I'm always like, this is not realistic. But they don't want to damage their brand by showing beat up cars. And I'm like, well, really?
And now they don't care. Or at least they don't seem to care as much.
Well, even then, when watching people play this Need for Speed, I'm amazed how much damage you can do to your vehicle and it doesn't actually translate into real-world damage on the vehicle.
It's all in the undercarriage.
Like, there's a little bit of, like, you know, stuff, but sometimes it's like you just scrape along a building. You expect at least the wing mirror to come off. No, it's still attached. You're like...
Titanium wing mirrors. And they're on springs, so it's like...
There's dimensional pockets or something that they go into. I have all of Avatar The Last Airbender on DVD now. Hooray! Mostly just because it's not on Netflix anymore and it makes me sad, so I'm like, well, I'm gonna have to buy it. Most of my requests were things that used to be on Netflix that I can't get anymore, and I really like watching them once in a while. So, like Bram Stoker's Dracula. I like it for the costumes. They're pretty. Or Amadeus, which is actually just a really good movie, and everybody should watch it. It just, you have to have 3 hours, though. It's a long movie. It is sort of a fictional take on the life of Mozart and his self-proclaimed rival. But it's a good movie. I also got Wolf Children. I have not watched it yet. Mostly just because I don't want to bawl my eyes out. So I've been told I will do. It looks gorgeous. It looks fun. And it looks endearing. And I'm excited. I'm just glad there's somebody else who might be able to take Miyazaki's reins after, you know, different studio and everything. But he's doing good work. If you liked Summer Wars and The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, this is the guy's third installment beyond the Digimon work he used to do. He did some good sequences. He had to direct one of the Digimon movies, and he directed a couple of the fight sequences in, I think, the other movies. And you can just tell. There's just, you know, a fluidity to the pieces and the style, and it just is him. I'm trying to think. Did I get any other anime?
I didn't get any anime for Christmas myself.
Oh, so. We got School Rumble. The first set.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also got Yoshitaki Amano's The Sky, which is basically the entire a huge collection of Final Fantasy art from Final Fantasy 1 to Final Fantasy 10, since he was the primary character designer, at least 1 through 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, he did stuff, but somebody else was the primary, you know, designer for the aesthetics of the games, which is why they look different. But he always has this little, like, title background. It's gorgeous. It weighs a ton. It wasn't even free shipping on Amazon. My mom had to pay extra for it. She's like, everything else is free shipping, but that book. Well, it's three books in a huge case. She had to pay additional, you know, it was still free, but she had to pay a little bit of an extra cost for it, because it's, I'm not kidding, it probably weighs,
it's beefy. Let's just say
10 pounds, it's at least.
We can check it.
Yeah, I have a scale.
We can get the bathroom scale here later.
But it's gorgeous. I mean, they are large, about, I'd say 10 by 10 inches at least, maybe a foot by a foot.
Yeah, something like that.
Square books that lay pretty well flat. I wish there was more notes about sort of a discussion, but it's just mostly just all illustrations. All illustrations broken up between, you know, the various games and such. Some of them I have in other various art books. Some of them I don't. Doesn't bother me, just because they're gorgeous coffee table books, and I like collecting Amano's artwork. And I am just so glad that Dark Horse and a couple other publishers have been bringing stuff here to the States and actually doing really good replications. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad that they've realized there is a market in the U.S.
I don't have anything else, to be honest.
Yeah, neither. I mean, I got Pokemon, and we've already discussed that, so.
You have to trade me Pokemons!
Yeah.
I need to play some more Pokemons.
I'm so close to finishing it. It's like I got so far, and then I put it down, and then the holidays happened.
Final Fantasy Rhythm Theater is what happened to me. Or Theater to Rhythm.
Yeah.
They have all the games. I'm sorry, I'm a sucker for Final Fantasy music.
Well, I think that's probably a good spot to call it. Go ahead and find us on thegameslave.com, Facebook, Twitter, Google+. We're on all of them as The Game Slave. If you have questions, comments, go ahead and send that to mail@thegameslave.com. In the meantime, you guys have a great week, and we should see you right after the new year. Happy New Year, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.